Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. It's a covenant and a pleasure to speak to such a distinguished Elam. And it's also a pleasure not to have to actually travel. In any case, it's definitely an honor. So I wanted to speak about tonight. This week we have Parshas Mishpat and Parshas Shkolim. They come together. Now, both are about money. What about money? So I wanted to speak a little bit about money vis-a-vis the Parshias. To try to come up with some yesaidis and how we should look at money. So Rashi in Shmois, Parshas Kisisa, Periklamet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi says like this. Rashi says, Moshe was niskasha. Moshe had difficulty. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure what was the maksa that shekel was supposed to look like. Then a Kodesh Baruch Hu showed it to him, and he showed it to him as a matea shel eish. He showed him a matea, he showed him a coin made out of fire. And Rashi in Parshas Baal Oishlas is a similar concept in regards to the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficult time conceptualizing, visualizing what the menorah was supposed to look like. And therefore, Hashem showed him a menorah made out of fire. Now, L'chairo, this is very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. We can understand that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time picturing, visualizing what the menorah was supposed to look like. We know the menorah had to be mixture, it had to be one piece of gold, kikar zav, and they had to use that to create a menorah with seven stems, all coming, branching out of one stem, with 22 kaftorim and tzachim, and everything had to be it was exquisite, and it wasn't simple to imagine what that's supposed to look like. That we understand, we can understand. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I don't know what it's supposed to look. I don't know how to make it. But a coin? What's the big deal? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what a coin's supposed to look like. Okay, all the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to tell him the dimensions, tell him the circumference, and tell him the width, and that's it. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's tremendous difficulty to understand what the coin was supposed to look like? What was the big difficulty? Another question which the Darshanim all ask is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show it to him in fire, though? This is both in regards to the menorah and in regards to the Maaseh Shekel. Why fire? Why couldn't he have shown it to him as a coin, as a silver coin? The menorah is gold. And maybe you're going to say that, maybe you'll say, you know what? In Shemayim, they don't have coins. They only have Eish, which is Ruchni. Eish is Ruchni, we know. The Shemayim was made out of Eish. Shemayim, we know Eish is Ruchni. So maybe you'll say that, no, Shemayim only has Eish. And that's why they did it with Eish. But that can't be true. That can't be true, because we know there's a famous Gemara in Gemara in Tainis Daf Chav Dalid. It says that Reb Chanina ben Zoiso was very impoverished. He was very poor. And his wife said she can't handle it anymore. So they davened, and he davened that they should have wealth. So they saw a hand come down from Shemayim, and it gave them a bar of gold. And then she saw in a dream that they were sitting in Olam Haba, and everybody was there together in Olam Haba, and everybody else had a table of three legs, and they had a table of two legs. So they're sitting on golden tables with three legs, and hers only had two legs. And Chanina Zeis explained to her that the third leg, which is, Chaim V'Loshin explains, the leg of Chesed, they just lost because they took the gold, they took the money from heaven, they lost the leg of Chesed. Therefore, their table does not only have Torah and Avodah, but not Gemilas Chasadim. So therefore, they davened, and then they gave the gold, and then a hand came down, and they gave it back. So, we see that in Shemayim there is gold. And Shemayim can come from Shemayim gold, and the tables that they're going to have in Shemayim are going to be made out of gold. And it's going to be from real gold. So then it's hard to understand over here. So why did it have to be Eish? Why couldn't it be made out of gold and silver? Why the Kodesh Baruch Hu sold it out of Eish? So Shlema Hyman says a beautiful pshat. It's a sefer, a chedusha of Shlema. Shlema, a small sefer. Ma'at ha-kamas, Rava Eichas. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pshat, he says. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty in the Machzor HaShekel was not what it's supposed to look like. That wasn't what his difficulty was. His difficulty was, then how could you ask Klal Yisrael for all this money? Klal Yisrael just donated all that, so much gold and silver for the Mishkan. And they gave that minitvas levoy. They decided to do it. It was on their own volition. But now you're going to require every single member to give money again. How could you do that? How could we expect that of them? Too much to expect. And on that, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a matbea shel eish, to show him that the Machzor HaShekel is the property of fire. When you have a fire, and you take fire from that fire, the fire doesn't diminish. The fire doesn't diminish. He was showing him it's the Machzor HaShekel. You give, and you don't lose. You give it away and you don't lose. The fire still remains. Like the Baal HaTurim says, Vinosnu. When you give, you actually get. When you give, it's we say, Aser, Yisrael Shetis Aser. Give Maisa so you should become wealthy. The Gemara says also, Melech V'moinei Chos. If you want to salt away your money, you should give it away. You don't lose from giving away. You don't lose from giving away. So, Shadis, that was the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe to tell the people, that give the Machzor HaShekel and you won't lose. And he says the same thing was up at the Menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Menorah from Eish. The Menorah we know is a remnant of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal tell us that the Menorah was a remnant of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he was telling him that when you teach others Torah, it would seem like you're losing. You're giving up from yourself. You're giving up from your time. Especially when one teaches those who are on a lower level than him. One would think he's losing. He says, no. It says, the Gemara says, Chazal say, mi talmida yoysu mikulam. Gemara makas yudim abeis, mi talmida yoysu mikulam. One gains more. One gains more from giving up. The opposite of the case. Not only doesn't one lose, but one gains. And that was the moral of the lesson of the fire. And that's really the truth of the fire. Not only when you take away from fire does it not lose, but the opposite is the case, is that because you fan the fire and that increases the fire. And that increases the fire and that adds to the fire. And that's the lesson of the Eish. And I had a personal maisa that which really touched on both points. When I was in yeshiva, so there was another bachur in the yeshiva. And this bacher, he was struggling. And I used to help him out. I used to learn with him, you know, in off times. I used to learn with him to try to help him with shir. But he had a very hard time. And it came the end of the zman, and nobody really wanted to learn with him. So I secured for him. I worked very hard, and I got somebody who I thought would be a good achavus, would be good for both of them. You know, somebody who was on a higher, much higher level than him. And I worked on it, and I convinced him to do it, and he did it. Then, at the end of this man, my chavrus, who I'd been learning with, which was a very good chavrus shaf, he told me, you know, he had second thoughts about staying in the yeshiva. There was another yeshiva he could go to, and he left. And so it landed up, now at that point, at the end of this man, I'm Rabbi Chavrus for the next man. Came Ben Azmanim, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from the person who I got the chavrusa for him. The person who had a hard time getting chavrusa, and I'd gotten a chavrusa for him. And he told me that he changed his mind. He changed his mind, and he decided that he's going to leave yeshiva. And so now it ended up that the chavrusa that I had gotten for him, the good chavrusa that I had gotten for him, became my chavrusa. I had given up I had worked. I spent a lot of time and effort to try to get him a chavrusa. And that was, I gave up for my ruchnias for his ruchnias. And then in the end, it was landed as being my ruchnias, and it was a very good chavrusa for me also. And that's this yesod, that a person doesn't lose. A person does not lose from giving away. Not in gashmias and not in ruchnias. There's another pshat. They'll say, why, as to why there was it was fire, it was matbeah of esh. There is a, it's brought down the Rogat Shavar, I was not able to find it now, but many, many years ago, it was shown to me. The Rogat Shavar says he heard from a German darshan, a Yekish darshan, he heard the following pshat. He heard that the lesson HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching them was that when you do a mitzvah, you should do it with hislavos, with a bren, with warmth. You should do it like a fire, like a burning fire, with warmth and with fervor. Now, why by the Machzor Shekel? I think because the Machzor Shekel is something which is hard to do with warmth and with fervor because nobody wants to give away money. And the lesson was that even when you're doing a mitzvah that you don't want to do, you should do it with warmth. You should do it with a geschmack. Now the Rogat Shavar went on to say something. I can say this because I'm a fellow Yeki. He said that he couldn't believe that such a word came out of Germany. He said, it can't be that a German Dachshund said this. Couldn't believe it. Until they told him that the Yekis are very hospitable. They're very makbar in the mitzvah, which is Ad Hayoim, the welcoming committee. And there's a committee to make sure there's bigger cholim and by availing that there's somebody taking care of things. And he said, because of that, he says that then he understood that how they could say this word. Now, what was the Rogat Shavar's kasha? He couldn't understand how this word came from Germany. What was the pshat? So I think it's like this. There's a maisa with the Shlomo Breuer. The Shlomo Breuer, as we know, was originally, he grew up in Hungary. And he was a Talmud of the Ksav Sefer in Hungary. And then he became a Persian son-in-law, and he went on to succeed him as the next Rav in the IRG. And at one point, one of his old chaverim, one of his old cronies from back in his yeshiva days, by the Ksav Sefer, came for a visit to Frankfurt, and he davened in the Kehillah and IRG together with him. After davening, he was outside together with Shlomo Breuer, and Shlomo Breuer asked him, "No, how'd you like the davening?" He told him it was very good, it was very nice, but it was a drop cold. Now they were standing outside, and across the street there was an ice store, that ice. And he pointed to the ice, and the Shlomo Breuer said, "You see that ice?" He said, "How does it stay so firm? How does it do what it does?" It's because it's cold. What would happen if you would warm it up? It would melt. You wouldn't have that firm. I think what he was saying is obvious, that the aside is that if you want to be meticulous in your avodah and make sure to do everything right, then there has to be a certain element of rigidity. And that rigidity, in order to have that rigidity and to have that structure, it takes to a certain degree, a certain that dikduk in mitzvahs is a certain degree of cold. Now, what was the Rogat Shavar's answer, though, when they told him that the Hidrachnas Archim was warm? That Beis Hashem will get to. So I wanted to segue into another inyan in Rav Shkolim. The Gemara says in Megillah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu knew that Haman was going to give 10,000 shekel to annihilate the Jews. And because Haman knew that. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knew that. Therefore Hashem made that we give Shkolim in Adar to have preceded the Shkolim of Haman and to therefore to wipe out his diabolical plan. To upend his plans. That's what it says in the Gemara Megillah. Now, this Gemara needs a lot of explanation. First of all, what is the fact that Haman was going to give Shekel have to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael gives Shekel? It's totally different. One is trying to destroy the Jews because they're doing Aveiros. And the other thing is here, we have the Shekel, which we're giving for Tzedakah, we're giving service in Mishkan. What are the two things? What's the correlation? Because they're both coins. There's coins involved. Anytime there's coins involved, one coin can offset the other. What's the correlation? And furthermore, what's the importance? What's the significance of the fact that Haman used coins in his attempt to secure the decree against the Jews? That's seemingly a very, very tangential point. Okay, he happened to have tried to give money. That's very seemingly a very small point, very minor detail. What is that? Why is it so significant that we had to actually do something about those coins? In fact, those coins were never even used because Avraham Avinu said, I don't need the money. So what is it about those coins? So there's a Ma'ariv Gevor that the Bina Le'itim says to answer this. The Bina Le'itim employs a vart. He employs a pshat, which many say, he says that many say, one of those many is a pshat of Fol Hirsch. It's a beautiful vart, a beautiful understanding in the purpose of Machzis HaShekel. He says, what was the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel? Why were they required to give half? Why was everybody required to give half a coin? Why half? Why not a whole coin? It could have been the same size, just in whole. Why does it have to give half a coin? What's the symbolism in half a coin? So they explain, the Persh, the Al-Sheikh, the Bin Le'itim, others explain that the purpose of the half a coin was to teach us that each person is a half of a whole. Each member of Klal Yisrael is not full without the other member, which means that my success is not complete without you, and your success is not complete without me. That each member is significant. Each member has their contribution. Each member is a half. And that was the symbolism, that was the purpose to give the Machzis HaShekel, was to unite Klal Yisrael in that tafkid as one unit. And that's the inyan when we daven with a minyan, a tzibur. The inyan is, because Klal Yisrael, in essentially, klulos, neshama, achas, we're all one big neshama, and we're all part of one big neshama, and we all make up one big neshama, and without any one person, we're missing. And he says, that's the pshat in the mission office. It says, ein ani li mi li, ukshini l'atmi mani. If I'm not for me, who's for me? I'm the only one who can do my job. Nobody else can be me. Nobody else can accomplish what I have to accomplish. But if it's just me, Mani, what am I? I'm just a piece of the puzzle. Yes, without my piece, you don't have a complete puzzle. But Kshani La'atzmi, Mani. He's saying the Nekuda of Achdus. The Nekuda of Achdus, the need for Achdus is not just a positive, it's not just a cherry on the top, it's a nice thing, it's a good thing, it's helpful, it's essential. Without Achdus, then everybody's missing. Everybody's missing, there's a piece missing. And that was the lesson of the Machzis HaShekel. There's a beautiful marshal which they say, in reference to this, they say there was a father who had a business, who had a very large business, and his business, and he passed away. He had five children, five sons, and they all inherited the business. So they went to the lawyers, and they said, listen, you know, my father left us this business and we'd like to divide it, that each one should have their portion. We'd like to divide it equally. They were very amicable and pleasant about it. And they said, you know, please, you know, divide it up evenly, that we should each have our own portion. So the lawyers, you know, as lawyers do, they spent a lot of time and they wrote many, many pages, a whole kit and caboodle, a whole long, large brief with many, many details and how exactly to divide each portion of the business fairly and evenly. And then at the end of the brief, they wrote, the end of the dossier, they wrote that whereas this is fair and equitable, really, it doesn't make sense. Because this business, as a whole, is a very successful business. It's a business which has factories, it has warehouses, it has trucks, it has stores. There's a whole line. And being that they're able to do all those pieces as one unit, it's very profitable. If we're going to divide it into separate entities, into separate enterprises, it will not be equitable. Each portion of the business in and of itself will not be successful. So you'll take a very successful business and you'll make of it five unsuccessful businesses. If you would follow our advice, you would keep it as one entity, one enterprise, and partner in it. And that's what they say, the achdus, when we're machzis ha-shekel and we all get together, our halves, and we're comprised of all our halves, we're a whole. But if each one is going to be an individual, if we're going to be an individual, we're not going to be half of a whole, we're just going to be a half. We're going to be an incomplete item. And we won't be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And so he says, therefore, what was Haman's money about? What was Haman's diabolical plans? What were the roots of it? Why did Hashem go through it? Because he said, Yesh noi am echad mefuzer mefer den am. There is one nation which is spread apart amongst your many provinces. He said that there was a pirud in Klal Yisrael. There was a pizur. There was a schism. There was a rift. There was dissension amongst Klal Yisrael. There was Lashon Hara in Klal Yisrael. And that was what Haman was looking to exploit. He was looking to exploit that Klal Yisrael was lacking in Achdus. He said, oh, you can get them now. They're Mefuzer Mefeiris. And the Nesivis explains that the money that Haman used, that which he used the money, that was giving the koyach of Tumah. The pshat is that the only way Tumah could work is if there's Mesiris Nefesh for Tumah. His Mesiris Nefesh, his sacrifice, it was such a sacrifice from the sacrifice money, but his sacrifice was what was Ma'ir in Shemayim. You see, look, he's willing to be sacrificed for his Tumah. But look at Klal Yisrael, look at the period in Klal Yisrael. And that was the aside of the shekel, and that was the aside of how Haman's kesef was so powerful, and how it's so important on Purim, therefore, to give himself manas and matanas of yoinim, because the mitzvah hayoyim is the ichud, is that we should be not the yeshnei am echad mefuzim mefeirid bein amin, but we should be the yeshnei am echad, which is am echad, which is one am, and therefore we could utilize our koyches and the Ezer Hashem bring Mashiach. Now, I wanted to segue this, and I wanted to take this week's Pasha, Pasha Mishpatim. There's a powerful vart from Yeruchim Lubavitz. Powerful, powerful vart. It says, you know, we know, he doesn't make this point, but others make this point, but we know that Mesechta start on Daf Beis. Every Mesechta has a Daf Aleph, though. There's a preface that without the Daf Aleph, we can't understand the Daf Beis. The Rucham says, what is the Daf Aleph of Bava Kama? What is the Daf Aleph of Mezikin? He says, I want to tell you a big yesod. He says, we all understand that in medical school, they use a cadaver, a corpse, a dead body, in order to learn medicine. Now, why do they need a cadaver for? Why don't they just have courses and learn all the text and get all the knowledge? Because it's pashut. If they don't have a cadaver, if they don't have a real person to operate on and to see the real living parts and to examine them, they're never going to understand a human body. They may have awareness of facts, but they won't be able to conceptualize it. They won't be able to realize that knowledge without actually seeing it in a real person, a real thing. So, and they have to see and he says, and therefore, when they give the courses, they refer to what they saw. They base it on all what they saw and what they observed from that body, because that's the way they could properly understand and comprehend and conceptualize the information. You know, they say there was an Eloi, a big Lamdin, who was appointed to be a Rav. He was appointed to be a Rav. And when he became the Rav, so shortly afterwards, they brought him a Shiloh. They brought him an animal, which they were at a Shiloh, if it was a treif or not. It was questionable as if it was kosher or not. And he took, and he was looking, and he was thinking, and he was spending a whole day to try to figure it out. And finally, the people got a little bit antsy. You know, if they're gonna leave this Rav a little bit longer, they're gonna have to throw away the cow, it's gonna spoil. So, they quickly took the cow, and they brought it, they whisked it away, and they brought it to the Rav in the nearby town, and he looked at it, and he told them, based on a certain thesis, he said, oh, it's not a problem. So when they told it to him, he said, oh, you mean that's what this thesis is talking about. It's such a case. See, he knew it backwards and forward. He knew the thesis. He understood what thesis was saying. But he didn't know how to apply it because he never ever saw an animal before. If a person doesn't know what another person's about, it's just like that Rav, and it's just like the medical student. If a person doesn't understand what another person's about, or what a person cares about, he's missing the Daf Aleph. It's impossible for him to comprehend the Mesechta Bava Kama, and it's impossible for him to be Zoyer, for him to be properly careful with the halachos of Nezikin. I give a marshal, which has happened to me, sure it's happened to others. A person can, you know, certain places they can park, and then somebody else will double park and block them in. And the person will be there, and you'll be waiting, you're sitting there, and you wait for half an hour, and it's very, and obviously frustrating, and it's more than frustrating. Often, you have an appointment, you have somewhere you have to be, something you have to do, and things that have to be accomplished, and you can't, you're stuck, and there's nothing to do about it. There's nothing to do about it. Now, how does this happen? So the Altman comes with a beautiful thing. He says the Gemara in Baba Metzia says, Rishoyim nidmu kechayas yar. Rishoyim are comparable to chayas yar. They're comparable to the beasts of the forest. Now, what does this mean, the Altman comes says? That Rishoyim are comparable to beasts of the forest. He says what this means is when the lion comes, and the lion is hungry and it's roaring and it sees a sheep, and the lion goes there and it claws the sheep and it devours the sheep, and the sheep is crying and it's making all sorts of noises and sounds of pain. What is the lion thinking? Oh, poor sheep, this sheep is going through such pain. No, that's not what he's thinking. What he's thinking is lunch. It doesn't even occur to him that there's another person there. He says that's the same thing with Rishayim HaKechayis Yar. What does it mean, the Rishayim HaKechayis Yar? It means that the other person doesn't exist. It's not that he understands that there's a person there, and that person is going to be so frustrated and annoyed, and it's going to be delayed, and it's going to cause possibly marital strife, and it's going to cause him to miss an appointment, and it's going to cause him all sorts of difficulties. No. All he sees is that he needs to go to the store, and he blocks you in. That's all it is. The reason why Hazekim happened, the reason why people damage others, and the reason why they're careless and reckless, is because they don't understand the Aleph. They don't understand that there's another person there. Rabbi Yerucham brings Rashi in this week's parasha. Rashi says, in Kesef Talva, it's the only Imach. Rashi in parentheses, I don't know, all the Chumashim have it anymore. Rashi in parentheses says over there, that what does it mean it's the only Imach? That you have to look at yourself like you're that oni. If you want to be able to lend money, you want to be able to give away, and you want to be able to do it properly, you have to put yourself in that person's shoes. You have to feel what it means. How difficult was it for this person to come to ask you for the loan? How much pain is he's in? How much pain his family is in? And then you can approach this a situation. Otherwise, well, I don't have to give it. You know, I have money and I need my money and why he'd go to somebody else. But that all comes because you're not putting yourself in his shoes. You're not feeling the way he's feeling. And that's the Aleph, he says. The Yerucham says that's the Aleph for Nezokim. Just like we explained before, a person, we need Achdus. But beyond Achdus, part of Achdus is understanding every person. And if we can understand other people and we can feel for other people, to put ourselves in other people's shoes, then we can be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Nezikin properly. We can understand what it means for somebody to be damaged. And if we understand what it means for somebody to be damaged, then we won't come to damage them. And that's so important in the Avodah. That's so important in the Avodah to be able to properly make sure that we're careful with other people's needs and other people, not to be mazik other people. We have to understand the other person. And we can understand the other person, we can care about him. We have the potential at that point to have a modicum of understanding of what his possessions means to him and what he's about. In a similar vein, there's another verse from Yerucham which could be applied really to last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, Yisrael gave the Eitzah to bring Dayanim, and it seems like it's a very good idea. It seemed like it was a great idea. Kaisel accepted it. It's great. Then we get to Parshas Dvarim, towards the beginning of Parshas Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him Tzichacha. They shouldn't have accepted Yisrael's Eitzah. Rashi explains, the Medrash says, Rashi, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Because we should have said, well, who is it good to learn from? Not from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Mitzayir on an Arsinai and worked on an Arsinai, but from the Talmud. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave him Tzichacha. They should have understood that, no, we don't want to ask. We want to go other than. We want to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, when we got it from Sinai. We want to go to Moshe Rabbeinu instead of from Sinai. So the question is obvious. One place it seems like it was a good idea, one place it was like a bad idea. And furthermore, it says, who is it good to learn from the Rebbe or from the Talmud? That doesn't mean who is it good to learn from the Rebbe or the Talmud. This is not a learning experience here. It's not about learning. This is about going to the interior. It's about whose money is it. It's not about learning. So the Yerucham doesn't address this question, but he says a tremendous vort in the concept of mishpat. What's mishpat? He says mishpat is a person goes to mishpat, a person goes to bezin. What's it for? It's to learn how I'm supposed to treat the other person. It's to learn what my hanhoga is supposed to be. What's my hanhoga supposed to be? When we talk about nizokin, it's not about Chayiv and Potter. That's not what it's about. It's about there's another person here, and how am I supposed to treat him? How he's supposed to treat me? What's the Torah want from us? That's what it's about. And therefore, it's a learning experience. It was a techosim klausi. You shouldn't have accepted to have other dayonim. It's a learning experience. Going to a dayan is a learning experience how to treat other people. You shouldn't have wanted somebody other than Moshe. You should have wanted Moshe, who doesn't have Gvura. And therefore, there was a tain on Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael, who suggested it, was a good idea because he understood that Klal Yisrael wasn't holding by that Madrega. Klal Yisrael wasn't holding by that Madrega. They should have been holding by that Madrega, but they weren't holding by that Madrega. And therefore, Yisrael was a good idea. But essentially, a person has to understand, when we go to Din Torah, when a person looks in the Torah, the question is, what does the Torah want from me? What's my anhaga supposed to be with my chaver? And that's really that idea. This idea of learning from the Tayonim is really, we see it in Shemoneh Esrei. If you are Shivish or Ishtenik or Ishtenik or Ishtenik about Chilo, what do we need Shaitim for? There's not going to be fights, disputes over money anymore. But we need Shaitim to give us the Eitzes to know what we're supposed to do. We need Shaitim to teach us how to be Noiz Ben Adam Mechavevi. I wanted to conclude with one more vart about Mominus, which I think is very Yisraelis, very, very fundamental. The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yates says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Gezos Chaveiroi Shava Pruta Hilu Neis Veshvasim Menu." Says whoever steals a pruta, it's as if you killed a person. That's the Gemara in Bava Kama says. The Gemara is a Pella that you killed. The Gemara Kuf Yud Zayin says if somebody's looking to be moiser somebody's money to the government, you could kill that person. Also, hey, Shver, kill the person, it's just money. And furthermore, there's a Gemara Bava Kama Daf Lamed Amar Aleph that it says, "Hai man devoy lamavei chasido v'kayim mili dinazokin." If somebody wants to be a chasid, he should be masbur on mili dinazokin. Very difficult to understand. A chasid v'kayim mili dinazokin? I would think the Gemara should say, somebody wants to be a chasid, so he should do tremendous chasodim. He should be benevolent. He should be generous. He should be giving. He should be caring. This is the way. I know, you know, you imagine he was going to write a book about the person who was careful not to be to harm, to injure other people. That not to break their things. They're not going to write books about it. They write books about people's chesed and what they did, the Gavil's chesed. Why don't books about this? This is the chesed. The Gemara says this is the chesed. The Maral says, that doing chesed is great. Doing chesed is a gewaldige zach. It's wonderful. But chasidus is only somebody who's not mazik somebody else. Meaning chesed's great. It's very nice. But if a person wants to be considered a chosid, a chosid means a person who we can consider is a shalim, that's a person who makes sure he totally cares about his friend and he makes sure not to damage him. The positives are very nice. They're great. They're noteworthy. Make it to the books. But those positives don't define the person's character. What defines a person's character is if he understands and he's machshiv the chashivas of another person and he doesn't damage him. That's what the Maral says. But it's still somewhat troubling because I would think that if we were going to talk about chassidus in terms of bein adam lechaveiro, we should talk about not speaking lashon hara. We should talk about not speaking rechilus, that you don't damage a person. You're so careful not to damage him. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why is damaging his money so important? Well, money is not so important. So now, really, we know Chazal say two interesting things about money. It says an ani is chashiv kemeis, somebody who is poor is like mace. Now, it's very hard to understand. Somebody who's poor is like a mace. Well, what's so terrible? It says he's poor. Okay, it's not good. Nobody wants to be poor. He's dead? What does it mean he's dead? And on the flip side, Chazal says, soini matonat yechia. Somebody who despises presents lives. Hard to understand. Despises presents is a beautiful midah. great. It says, Sleni Matan is Mavoyrach, is blessed, is great, is great. Why is Yichya? He lives? Well, he's not living if he doesn't despise presence. And we really doubt, we doubt for this. Shaloi Lijay Matanas Vosor Vodom. We daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not bring us to presents from Basar V'dam, from people. Why is it so important not to get presents? So, the Maral says, the Maral in the Gur Arya Al HaTorah, Parsha Shmois, says a beautiful voice. He says that the reason why an Oni is Choshev Kemes is because he doesn't have Chiyus Me'ata, he cannot support himself, he can't take care of himself. Money, which Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person, is to be able to be independent and to take care of himself. And when a person is lacking in money, he's lacking in his independence. And when a person has lots of money and he can give it away, so he not only has independence, but he's a mashpia. He can actually use it to control and help others. He has, so to speak, a certain shirtless with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria in helping others, in doing for others. He's not just independent and taking care of himself, but he's also helping others. Therefore, somebody who is an Ani, Choshev Kemes. Therefore, somebody who doesn't take presents lives, because he's living from himself. He's not taking from others. He's independent. He's independent, that's Chiyus. Independence is Chiyus. When a person's in control of his own destiny, when he controls his own lot, that he has Chiyus. Now, I think we can say that that's really what's so terrible when somebody steals from somebody else, or somebody damages somebody else. He's taking away a piece of that person's Chiyus. He's taking away a piece of that person's control, control over himself and control over whatever else the money allows him to control. And when he's taking that away, he's taking away a piece of his neshama. He's taking away a piece of his neshama. And somebody who wants to be a chassid has to understand the importance of somebody else's money. And somebody has to understand the importance of what that other person's money means to him and what that gives him. And chas v'shalom not to take it with him. So just in conclusion, to sum it up, we explained that the Machzor HaShekel, there's the lesson of the Machzor HaShekel, which the Machzor HaShekel is a lesson of that it was aish to teach us that we don't lose from it, and aish to teach us to give away with a geshmak, to give away with a bren. And the Machzor HaShekel was half to teach us that we're really interlocked and interdependent, and we need others. And as once we said, like we need others. Others are important. Others are important. We said that therefore a person has to be careful not to be mazik others, because he understands the importance of others and how important it is not to hurt others. And to conclude, then the last point is that, and one's money is one's control, and that therefore, to take away a person, another person's control, is independence, and his control on things is as if one took away one's life. Good night, and have a wonderful Shabbos. It was, again, like I said, a privilege and a pleasure to be able to give back. Like we said, v'nosnu, machzor shekel, we're all part, one taka, one community, all a chelik. And the choshev tzibur should keep growing and steiging. And thank you for inviting me. Hatzlocha, have a wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov.